We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, it's like a rapper on stage, like playing to the sections. I want all the men in the house to say, ho! I want all the ladies in the house over here to say, ho!
That means you, Bo.
Because what we have here is a lot of excitement for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of despair and frustration and confusion with these Atlanta Falcons. We're a bit conflicted, overall in a great mood and ready to bring you our midday party. Rick Kamla, John Michaels, we're going to get into the Miami of it all here in just a second.
And we don't have to.
And M.O., of course, reveling in a UGA victory, man. But how was the travel to Charlotte? What was the excitement? I know your team got trucked, and I apologized to you,
about that.
But what was the experience like, brother?
Oh, dude, it was awesome. I mean, I met a ton of listeners to 92.9 The Game who were up there. Trying to remember, I had a fireball shot or two when we got there. But Tina and Mike and Manny who came out on – bunch of Miami fans there that listened to our station that wanted to meet me, come and said hello. Our kids had a great time. My buddy Laz, who is a huge Miami fan out of South Florida, he came up, sets up a big tailgate. They had the salsa music playing. Kane was out there dancing with some decent-looking Spanish women. So our daughter had a great time. The only part that stunk was my team got their teeth kicked in. But I got a story, and I'll get this out real quick. I did not make it to the end of the game. A three-hour drive back, and I knew I had to work yesterday.
I know Bull Morgan is mad at you. He's one of these, you sit in your seat the whole game no matter what, guys. Sure. I'm not mad at you for bailing on that game.
Three-hour drive back with two kids that were tired. I had to get out of there. Thank goodness I stayed. I stayed basically till the end of the third quarter, and I said, okay, there's no need to watch us kick the cursory field goal. I ended up winning an awesome prize pack from Adidas. Adidas had been tweeting me all day. Back and forth. Hey, we got something. They direct messaged me. We got something for you, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, late in the third quarter, they said, come down to the field. Let's do this. I'm thinking I'm going in one of those on-field competitions. I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to be the guy that embarrasses myself that can't kick a 20-yard field goal, which I would make a 20-yard field goal, by the way, with relative ease. Not even with relative ease. With almost guarantee, I make a 20-yard field goal. But they say, come down to the field. And I said, where? They say, it's come to the bottom of your section. So I walk down there. Who jumps up on the railing but Sebastian the Ibis, our mascot? I've got all these people taking pictures of me, and they hand me a briefcase. Very nice, like, travel case. But in the case, authentic Miami jersey, like the really nice stitched-on good one, turnover chain shirt,
nice.
and a brand-new pair of Adidas Ultra Boosts, which are like $200-some-odd shoes.
Dude.
So, and yeah, so, I won a nice prize pack.
So all this DMing you and all this sliding into your DM, they never said, hey, John, you're a winner.
No, they just said, we have something for you. And they asked me what size shoe I wore. So I kind of had a feeling I was getting a pair of shoes, which my buddy Carnell was livid. He's like Mr. Adidas. Before Adidas became re-popular, he wore the shell toes and everything else. He goes, dude, you're not even an Adidas guy. Like, I'm a Nike guy, but I had to switch to Adidas because that's what Miami wears. He goes, you're a Nike guy, and you're about to win some nice shoes. And then when he saw him, he goes, dude, I hate you. But,
so,
yeah.
So, John Michaels' team, not a winner on Saturday night, but he was a big winner, but not as big of a winner
as Mark Owens.
Behind the glass here in the Kia Studios. Congrats, my friend.
For what?
Georgia winning the SEC championship.
What happened? Was that this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Son of a gun, I missed it.
Yeah.
I'll
yeah,
be
right.
A son of a gun.
What did you miss it because you were crying too much after the game?
I'm not crying. You're crying. You're crying. I'm not crying. You're what crying. How much fun was that? I will be honest, Saturday will go down as one of my greatest college football experiences. This could be one of the top ones ever. We started the day off at McCray's.
Yep.
Had a great pregame show. Then I popped down to the Mercedes-Benz. Walked around, tailgate, hung out. I did a hit with V103, which
wow,
was really
nice.
Well, I finally brought a little street cred to that station.
So
I finally made it in radio. Hung out, tailgated with us, and Carl and Mike, and we're all partying and having some cold ones. Still had that just-in-case cash on me.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case somebody's like, dude, my buddy got sick. He ain't going to make it. I got these two tickets.
What was the lowest price you ended up seeing?
I never saw a price. It was such a high-demand ticket,
mm-hmm.
Even the scalpers didn't have any, because you always see one or two scalpers with a couple of tickets in their hands. Hundreds of scalpers, not one had a ticket.
Mm.
I asked somebody right before it was over who was walking in. I said, you know, how much did you pay? Where'd you get those tickets? He goes, a buddy of mine sold me his standing room only for $250 apiece.
Wow.
$500 for standing room only. But looking back, that was money well spent for them. So went back, got home just in time to see kickoff, and then went to a house party. And, man, struggled all day yesterday. But, man, it was worth it. It was fun. It feels damn good to be a Georgia Bulldog. But you know what? You can't look past Oklahoma. Now you have to get ready for the Rose Bowl. And we have, just under a month to do that.
I like the Dogs' chances against all three of the teams that are still left. Preacher Man, Saturday night, seeing the Preds win. That had to feel good. And once again, your Titans in a game way too close, an inferior opponent almost beating you, but you guys prevailed there too.
Yeah, so it was a double win in Nashville for both squads, which is highly unusual. And the entertaining part was you're texting me while I was driving back because I did not watch the Titans game, telling me how crappy my team was. And my response was something like, now you know why I hate this coaching staff. And then I checked the phone a little later, and they pulled out the victory. So there you go.
They did. We're going to talk about this tomorrow. Tom Savage had the weirdest back-to-back plays I've seen all year. Threaded the needle through two defenders on an amazing play to keep the drive going, and then on the very next play throws an unbelievable Tom Savage-like interception in the end zone. It was like you went from Joe Montana to Ryan Leaf in one play.
Hey, Ryan Leaf's our boy. He's now on the good side of the Midday Show with Rick and John. And by the way, Paul, I will say right now at 10:06, the committee got it right. All the whining Ohio State fans I've seen out there, this is what happened to you a year ago. Get over it. Don't lose to Iowa by 31 because your arguments go out the window at that point. Preacher Man.
Because that's what's up.
What the is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Certainly a difficult loss for us, but one it was as a team. And over the last few weeks, we'd improved in that way all three phases. So today, went right back to that. We knew it was going to be an all-day fight with Minnesota. We expected that coming in. And as the game turned out, you know, some missed chances on third down on both sides of the ball was really the factor in this game.
Oh, where do you start with the Falcons? They lose 14-9 to the Vikings. They fall to 7-5 on the year. Vikings are a very good football team, no doubt about it. Everything that the Falcons needed to do to win the game, kind of out the window. But you got to give defense credit. 14 points allowed to Minnesota. Good defensive effort. The problem was Case Keenum got comfortable. He stayed comfortable. He never was uncomfortable in the entire game. Was it 18 straight passes he hits inside the numbers, which if Adam Schefter tweeted correctly is an NFL record. Latavius Murray got just enough going on the ground. Atlanta couldn't get anything going on offense. And I know we'll get to this in the next segment. Dan Quinn to me, I love the aggressiveness of DQ. That's my guy. I trust in him. The time that we needed him to be aggressive, he decided not to be aggressive. Don't know if you were going to get it on fourth down or not, but you had to take that shot. 14-9 down, you eschew a fourth down opportunity, you kick a field goal, you miss, and you never see the football again.
It's fourth and four, John, deep into the fourth quarter. You were there on the field, and I'm like, okay, you complete a short pass to Taylor Gabriel on third and 10, 6 yards, it's fourth and four. You have to go for it there.
I tweeted
this out yesterday. I'm mad at Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn botched that call. That's on him. You can't blame Kyle Shanahan or Steve Sarkisian. That's him. And John's right. It's way too overly aggressive. And, John, you don't even tie or take the lead with the damn field goal. It would have made it 14-12, and Minnesota would have been in the same position of get two or three first downs and take a damn knee. So you have to go for it there. Correct me if I'm wrong, John. I didn't have the time written down. It was about 4.5,
yeah,
5 minutes.
Yeah, about 4.5. It was under 5 minutes.
No, you have to go for it there. So this is this is the biggest game management mistake for Dan Quinn all year.
Here's the thing with it. The traditional play is to kick the field goal. You still had two timeouts and a two-minute warning. Your defense had played well. The traditional play is to kick the field goal, cut it to a two-point game, get the ball back with, you know, maybe right at the two-minute warning, go down and win the game with a field goal. My issue with that is you hadn't moved the ball all day consistently. So to think that you were twice going to, or and you had already moved it there to get into field goal range, so twice go down the field on that defense to win the game, I would have gone for it. At minimum, you're going to gain 7 yards of field position that you lose by kicking the field goal and they get it where the ball is set. So I would have gone for it. I know why the traditional thinking is to kick the field goal there and trust your defense. You got to go win a football game. You needed a touchdown to win. I didn't think you were going to be able to score twice.
All right, Johnny, my boy, let's move on. I want to document in our next segment the failures of Matt Ryan yesterday as well. I thought there was a lot of blame that should be put at his feet today as well for that loss. It's a Falcons Monday. Rick and John making it happen here. Let's talk college football playoffs. John, I totally agree with you that, look, Ohio State losing to Iowa combined with them not obliterating Wisconsin on Saturday night is why Alabama is in the four. This is less about what Alabama did than the failures of Ohio State. The failures of Ohio State giving up 55 to Iowa, again, like you, dude, athletically, they get those three long touchdowns where they just are better than Wisconsin. How do you not beat this team by two or three touchdowns? You're in a war. You're making mistakes. JT Barrett looks like a Heisman winner on one play and an FCS player on the next. Not trucking Wisconsin, losing to Iowa. That's why Bama's in.
That is, and Ohio State fans are going to say, wait a second, our strength of schedule is better. It was. There's no arguing that. They won a conference. No arguing that as well. Alabama didn't do any of those things. The precedent was set a year ago when Ohio State, in almost the exact same scenario, gets in over Penn State, who had beaten them head-to-head. So, unfortunately, you won last year. You get into the playoffs this year. You did not get in. My biggest issue with this, and we'll document this in the 11 o'clock hour, but I want to throw it out there. If the conference championship games don't matter, get rid of them. Because you rewarded Alabama for staying at home yesterday. Auburn, who loses to Georgia, says, wait a second, we just beat Alabama. Had we not had to play Georgia for a second time, we'd be in the playoffs. And Ohio State goes, wait a second, these guys get to go and we win our conference. What's the point? Something has to change criteria-wise with the committee. The committee, and I hope we get to talk to our guy, Bill Hancock, before the playoffs get underway. I want to be part of this because you need to put, this is what our tiebreakers are going to be. And if conference championships games don't matter, let's just get rid of them altogether.
What's more important than conference championships? One, our terrible losses during this season. Mm-hmm. A blowout loss to Michigan kept Penn State out last year, and a blowout loss to Iowa kept Ohio State out this year. Those losses were more important than winning a conference championship. I want to talk dogs with you, John.
Yep.
And you know that I'm a killer be killed college football guy. DeAndre Baker is the star of the game for Georgia for landing on slash cheap shotting Kerryon Johnson's right shoulder. He was a different player after that because Kerryon Johnson looked magnificent, as did the Auburn team on that opening drive to make it 7-0. And I want to give Jake Fromm some credit here. Kerryon fumbles, Roquan recovers. Fromm on the read option that Jacob Eason can't run. To the 22-yard line on a 17-yard play. Then back shoulder to Godwin for the touchdown, 19-7. And then right back to Godwin for the two-point conversion when he talks smack against the Auburn defender, 21-7. The game is basically over at that point, John. We've got to give a lot of credit to Jake Fromm. He stepped up.
Biggest play of the game when they get the strip sack fumble off of Jarrett Stidham. Auburn's going in there to go 14-stink. If it's 14-0, that game plays out completely different. Credit to Georgia's defense. They had every answer they needed. Kirby Smart and company, they will be playing Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl coming up at the end of this month. Congratulations, by the way, to Kennesaw State. They get a win in the FCS playoffs. They'll be moving on. Georgia State's got a bowl bid. They're going down to Orlando to play. But it is a Falcons Monday. Brought to you by Xfinity. When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. What went wrong with the Atlanta Falcons in a 14-9 loss yesterday? We'll break that down with your phone calls next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9 The Game.
You had self-inflicted wounds at times on the penalty side of things, whether they're holds or a block in the back, so ones we'll go to look at. But at the end of the day, the missed opportunities on both sides on third down I thought was a real factor in this game.
That's Dan Quinn. Third down was awful for our Falcons yesterday, but this song isn't. Steve Aoki, Boneless, crank it.
Can we go back to a better place in time?
Monday.
I know, Mark, this wouldn't be a college bowl, college playoff Georgia, but the better place in time when we were in Houston, me, you, the Preacher Man, Dutch, Wendy, at this concert, Falcons hadn't lost the Super Bowl yet. You know, we were full of, blank and vinegar. We were just ready to roll. And then it just, Falcon season hasn't gone well since then.
It hasn't, man. And I want to throw Matt Ryan under the bus, and I want to do it right now. Matt Ryan yesterday, 16 of 29.
Ooh.
173 yards, no TDs, no picks. And I take copious notes during the game, so here goes. First half, it is the last drive for the Falcons before halftime. Bad throw to Julio Jones on second and four, and then he throws that quick left side throw to Marvin Hall that Mackenzie Alexander was like, I've seen this on tape. You are the stupid line of scrimmage, wide receiver screen to Taylor Gabriel just has to stop. The sliding catch that Mohamed Sanu makes, and he made the catch, and then they challenged it and won. Bad throw by Matt Ryan. He actually talked about it in one of his sound bites. I've got here Atlanta, third and eight. Ryan, deep throw to Gabriel. Terrible pass. Ryan scrambles. You remember, John, in the fourth quarter, third and seven, he's scrambling. Throw the ball, dude. You're not going to get 7 yards against the Vikings and Anthony Barr. That was not a bad throw, but a mental mistake. He throws high to Julio Jones on second and 10 on the drive that leads to the missed field goal by Matt Bryant. Throws that short pass to Taylor Gabriel on third and 10. And it's like, really? You're not even throwing to the marker, bro. I thought Matt Ryan had a dreadful game yesterday.
Yeah, he did not play well. I'll add to this. I don't think our receivers played particularly well. First play of the game, Julio Jones should score. Like, literally, he's on the run on a slant with cover zero. Julio catches that. It's 7-0, and he goes 80 or 75 yards. Drops it. Mohamed Sanu on a similar slant. On a third down play that Matt puts it right on his numbers, he drops it. There was a second down throw you talk about to Julio on the deep crossing route. I know it's in traffic, but you're supposed to be the best receiver in football. You got to come up with that. So, and I'm not, trust me, I'm right. not taking up for Matt. Matt did not play well. It was a collective failure. Matt was not good. Julio had the drop. Muhammad had a drop. And the offensive line got pushed around. You add all that up. You go 1-for-10 on third down conversions. You only hold the ball for 25 minutes because, once again, you let a team keep it for 8-plus minutes in the third quarter. You turn right around and go 3-and-out and punt it right back to them. And now you find yourself at 7-and-5.
I'm absolutely shocked by this stat. I would have said the Falcons had double-digit penalties. They only had 7 that were accepted by Minnesota. 7-for-55. Didn't it feel like more than 7 accepted penalties for the Falcons?
I think 2 were declined, mm-hmm. So you would have had 9. The problem was they all seemed to be at inopportune
no
times.
No question.
Your first drive to be able to come out of there with a field goal was a minor miracle because you had 3 major penalties on the drive. Every other time you'd start to get something going, it was a mental mistake penalty. They called a bunch of holding penalties. I know Dan Quinn was so angry at both of the line judges on the Falcon sideline. One time he runs all the way down to the end zone to the 5-yard line, screaming at the guy about the pick play that Minnesota ran for a touchdown. The next possession he runs all the way to the other end, screaming about some blocking calls that weren't going against Minnesota. He was not happy with those guys at all.
No, he wasn't. And, you know, one of the calls that probably had him incensed was that holding call on Ben Garland on the first drive of the game. I didn't think it was a hold. I thought it was a pancake block, and the announcer on Fox did not think that was Charles Davis, our guy. He did not think it was a holding call either. Nevertheless, we're not going to focus on one ticky-tack call that went against us, okay? Mm-hmm. We had a million opportunities to win this game. And so, to me, Matt Ryan's bad throws and bad decision-making was a big problem in this game. John, you called it on Friday. He was your hero or your expected hero, and he certainly needed to play well, and he did not. And John and me both agree. Dan Quinn kicking the field goal on 4th and 4 late in the game is just a terrible, terrible decision. He may get, when we do our inventory tomorrow at 1:20, I may give him worst coaching of the week for that. It's just a terrible decision. Matt Bryant is not going to beat the Minnesota Vikings with his right leg. He's just not, John. And even if you get to 5 field goals, Minnesota still would have had an opportunity to score in the middle there. So it's just a really, really bad decision by DQ.
I just look at timing, flow of the game, opportunity, thought that you're going to get it back. The fact that you had to waste a timeout earlier in the half because you couldn't get the right defensive personnel on the field. You were down to 2 timeouts and a 2-minute warning, which basically meant you had to stop them. They could get 1 first down, and that was it. Well, they got multiple first downs. And I know a lot of fans were saying, well, why were you sitting in a zone letting Case Keenum pick you apart? Well, you saw what happened when you went man-to-man on third down. Adam Thielen screwed C.J. Goodwin completely into the ground with an outside release, planted the foot, runs a slant. C.J. Goodwin was nowhere close to him. You tried to go press man coverage at that time. That was the issue you had all game. So you died by death by paper cut. It was just short, short, dink, 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 and you could not get off the field.
But they don't make mistakes.
Nope.
They don't have holding calls. They don't have incomplete passes. They don't have fumbles. They just play. They're robotic. Kind of boring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Case Keenum, occasionally they'll hit, you know, a big one. But it's slants and it's out routes and it's little curl routes. And, I mean, it's just little dink and dunk stuff. You mentioned the stat, like, between between the numbers for Case Keenum. He's not throwing deep outs 20 yards downfield. It's out of his comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So, look, we lost to a very, very good football team. Number one in the NFC right now are the Minnesota Vikings at 10-2 because the Phillies lost last night at Seattle. So you got to give Minnesota credit. You got to give the Purple Team credit. They played a really, really good football game. But Dan Quinn, it goes so against his character. We've seen this guy be aggressive to a fault where we've wanted him to pull back on the reins a little bit, and then the opportunity to – the opportunity to be aggressive, he doesn't. And he kicks a field goal that wouldn't have tried to kick a field goal that wouldn't have even have given our team the lead. I just didn't like that decision.
Yeah, and that was the biggest problem for me. Again, you were trusting, and I understand the percentage play is kick it, play defense, get it back, try to win the game. Again, you have to go with the flow of the game. And I'm an uberly aggressive guy. This is why I don't crap on Dan when he is aggressive. Going forward on fourth down. Remember, you went forward on fourth down yesterday in the first quarter. You were actually further back. You were about at the 38 or 39, and you go for it, and you picked up a fourth down. Take your shot. You needed 4 yards. You had run the ball effectively against them, as well as you could anticipate against that front. You can win one-on-one matchups, and if they gave you zone coverage, it was easy to find a hole in the zone on a fourth and four. Let's take a phone call or two, Rick, 404-741-0929. Carter will lead us off today. What went wrong yesterday, Carter, with the Falcons?
All right, man, this is what's going on. I'm a Falcons fan diehard, and I know a lot of people are going to hate for me to say this, but the problem I feel like is that what we need to do is every 5 years or so, or even more, we get a good quarterback in. I think we need is to do is to be looking toward the future and looking toward Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson. Reason I say that and the reason I'm backing that is because if we had a quarterback that had the speed and had that threat of could run at any moment 10 yards, 8 yards, 5 yards and get that first down, that's a threat that the league is not is going to be really hard. The league that opens up the field. So if you have a quarterback and he has to run, and he's a threat and he can run at any time and get that first down, that opens up the field for Sanu, Jones, Freeman. That just makes that offense at a point to where it opens up the field for everybody.
Carter, the other side of that is that Lamar Jackson is a really inaccurate thrower. Okay, he is dazzling with his feet. He has some of the best feet in all of football, pro and college. Mm-hmm. He misses a lot of throws. He's very Tyrod Taylor-ish that way. I've diagnosed it. He's in between Tyrod Taylor and Michael Vick, probably stuck right in the middle of those two. I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. It is way too early for us to be here talking about what's next
32
at the quarterback position. Give me a break, guys. We're 7-5. Matt Ryan, I said it. He had a dreadful game. I thought Matt Ryan stunk yesterday. Did you hear the soundbite of Matt Ryan talking about he threw low to Sanu and he's got to be better than that?
Mm-hmm.
I heard in Matt Ryan's voice, he knows that he did not play a good football game. He is going to work his butt off this week with that extra added motive. And he doesn't need it, John, but he's going to have it. He's going to have that extra added motivation of, I let my team down on Sunday.
I just want to go through the teams right now.
And by the way, if you're lusting for a quarterback, lust after Sam Darnold, not Lamar Jackson or Josh Rosen.
Let's look at the guys that are in the playoff picture right now at quarterback. Case Keenum, he ain't running around. Carson Wentz, he's not running around. Drew Brees, he ain't moving.
He can't run
now,
anymore.
Now, Cam Newton can run. I give him that. Jared Goff, he's not really running.
Nope.
Russell Wilson runs. I give you that. Matt Ryan does not run. Okay, let's go over to the AFC side. Tom Brady is a statue. He's not moving. Ben Roethlisberger can move, meaning you're not going to take him down because he's 280 pounds. And the rest of the AFC playoffs is just not really a good group of quarterbacks. Phillip Rivers, statue. Alex Smith ain't really moving. Point being, I get it. It's nice. I want Lamar Jackson. Are we back to this already? Like, is this where we are 12 games into a season? It's get rid of Matt Ryan? Like, come on, man. We got to be better than that.
And by the way, I do like Lamar Jackson at the next level.
Love
but
Lamar
not
Jackson.
As much as Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen. Matter of fact, I'd rather have Baker Mayfield in the NFL than Lamar Jackson. I said it.
We've got something special for Mark Owens next in the Slice of Life. I've got to go get some clarification from the bosses. And then we're going to go through something next to try to help our boy out. That's coming up on Sports Radio 92.9.
Well, that was big voice guy before him, Dan Quinn, Kirby Smart. Good to hear that he and Dan Quinn were communicating. That's really, really cool. And shout out to Kirby Smart, man. Way to go. Year two, you are SEC champ. And he's like, you know, hopefully we can come back here, keep doing this. You will be. Georgia is going to have the SEC East on lock for years to come. And just get ready for them to be in that game year after year after year. Rick Hamlet, John Michaels on a Falcons Monday. We're going to depart from the Falcons discussion for just a bit because we've got the slice of life. And it's brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, John, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. What is our slice of life today?
All right, this one is going to be with the show. And I am working on some legal clarification for one Mark Owens. No, Mark's not in any trouble.
Literally, like, emails, attorneys,
No, I went to bosses, and they're trying to get some clarification. So here's the idea for the slice of life today. It's pretty simple. Mark Owens, yeah. You were already pricing what it would cost to go to the Rose Bowl.
I've already priced it out every way you can.
For you and your wife, what would be a general ballpark number? $5,000 for everything?
No, you can do it cheaper than that.
Okay.
You could do a flight out there. Now, you can do me if I went with my wife. If both of us went, mm-hmm. we'd definitely get a hotel room overnight.
Sure.
If I went by myself, I would just stay and fly out again at like midnight after the game. It's mm-hmm. a 5 o'clock game.
Sure.
Be over by 9, and just race from there to the airport. But if you're gonna do a hotel, there's a place called Vagabond End mm-hmm. Inn.
Which is that really what it's called?
Yeah, it was 4 miles from the Rose Bowl.
Now, is that one of those where you park your car out front and they still give you a key?
It's like a hostel.
No, it's one of those where you can get it in half-hour chunks.
Yeah, and there's a mirror on the ceiling.
Yeah. The bed vibrates a little bit, so bring your quarters.
Take coins.
So you're basically Chevy Chase in the original Vacation.
Yeah, there's a condom machine in the lobby.
They would actually have to have a lobby.
It's just a bulletproof glass window. You slide. No, Vagabond's actually a 5-star, and I can tell you why, because it's $600 a night.
Whoa.
$600 yeah. a and night?
For the Vagabond Inn?
Vagabond Inn. That's 4 miles from the stadium. I just did a quick search on Orbitz. Mm-hmm. There are no hotel rooms in Pasadena right now.
Yeah.
They
well,
got gobbled
okay,
up
here's the thing. You say 20 minutes outside of
sure,
it.
Sure, you can
okay.
do that.
Okay, but here's what my point.
Okay,
what, so, long story short, yeah. what do you think it would cost you to get out there?
Okay, you
total
know,
for both of you. $5,000?
Yeah, about $5,000.
Okay.
$3,000 to $5,000 easily.
So here's what we have cooked up. And again, I'm getting legal clarification.
All right, I'm looking at a picture of this hotel. The outside is it's not pretty. It
is does there have like a lobby, bars though. On the windows?
No, there's no bars. But it's old.
Yeah, here's the thing, Mark.
Get the man out, park your car.
You're not going to stay right in Pasadena. You're going to have to stay 10, 15 miles out. We're going to find you. It's Los Angeles. It's not like every hotel is booked up. You're not going to Stillwater, Oklahoma, where there's only 5 choices for hotels. So here's what we want to do.
Okay.
I've told you before on this station, my biggest regret ever football-wise was not going to the 2001 National Championship at the Rose Bowl. Biggest regret ever. Could have gone out there fairly cheap, whatnot. Wouldn't have cost me $5,000. I didn't go. Stupid. I look back down and I go, that might be the last chance we ever get to go there. But, you know, the Rose Bowl's in the mix and Miami's getting better and all those good things. Mm-hmm. You got to go to this game. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do here, mm-hmm. and we want some guys to tweet us and whatnot. Again, it's going to take legal clarification. I want to start a GoFundMe page to get Mark Owens to the Rose Bowl. And I'm being completely serious. We've got 30 days.
Yeah.
The caveat would be, and again, if we can do this, we'll put it up. The caveat would be if we don't raise enough money, all of it goes to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that we raise over the cost will go to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. I know we got some great listeners here at the station.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, you are the number one Georgia fan mm-hmm. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got to get you to the Rose Bowl.
What do you think, M.O.? He's really cooked up a plan here.
I love it. And listen, you know me.
Preacher Man's in on this as well.
I was going to say, I'm getting left out. We had this conversation over breakfast. We're down there, you know, chopping it up, trying to figure out that's a slice of life, how we get him out there.
I'm a low-maintenance traveler. You know, if you're going to send both of us out there, that's fine. I want to make sure my bride is happy and she has a good time. If it's me going, you could stick me in the back in the shipping crates,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be happy down there. You know, you can put me in the Vagabond Inn. I'll be happy there. I just want to be there.
Yeah.
I was searching flights on Delta, and somebody said, why don't you check Spirit Air? If it's a 4.5-hour flight, I'm a Delta guy, always have been, mm-hmm. so I do at least want the seat back TVs. And some of those, let's say, discount airlines, it's like, here's a Sprite, everybody take a sip and pass it around. You know, you do want to fly with a little bit of
that. Then you wave at the pilot when he turns around and looks at
yeah.
you and gives you the safety instructions.
Yeah.
Hey, anybody know what this button does? No, we're good. So I'm game, dude. That's phenomenal. I love it. I love that idea. I love that idea. And right now, tickets on StubHub for the game are about $250 to get in.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. You could do that for a Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
That's not bad. And I think that's the initial mm-hmm. excitement because I think a lot of people put them on there knowing that Georgia travels well.
And remember, so does Oklahoma.
Remember, Georgia's the same team when they played Arizona State, 2008, 2009,
yeah.
sold the place out. they had a record season ticket sales that year because those damn dirty redneck dogs come in there and buy up all the season tickets because it was cheaper to buy a ticket package than a single game ticket. They also drank a lot of the bars dry.
Mark Owens, damn good dog. We're excited for you. So Preacher Man
on the West Coast
and John have cooked up a GoFundMe page to get MO to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl, and I think it's a great idea. Now, so GoFundMe page here. Could we start a petition for me on the side, on a totally different note?
To go as well?
No. You see, I want to go see the Disco Biscuits in New York City over New Year's Eve weekend.
No.
And let me just stop you here. You're too comma for a reason.
No, it has nothing to do with
and
money.
You already have the backstage hookup with the crew and all
time
that
out,
stuff.
Time out. Like I said, this is not – GoFundMe page is for Mark. I want a petition, okay? And the petition will say, Charity, you will allow Rick Kamla to go see his favorite band on New Year's Eve weekend in New York City with or without you, period. And then a bunch of people sign that petition. Because she's totally grind. No, you can't. We got to save money. We can't spend it. It would be $1,000 for me to go up to New York. Two nights hotel, the plane, some meals. It would be like a grand for me to go see my band.
How about donate the grand to the Mark Owens Let's Get to the Rose Bowl Fund?
I love him, but not more than the Disco Biscuits on New Year's Eve in Manhattan.
That's for the allegiance.
Nice, my boy. I will throw some pennies in the bucket for the GoFundMe page.
Jam
I want to see my
outweighs
band.
Producer every time.
Dude, my contact with the band already emailed me. You're good. Plus one. How many nights you want to come?
So you need
it's a four night run. I could be there all four nights. All I want is two. I don't need all four. I just need two.
Change.org petition. You get 10,000 signatures.
That's what I'm saying. I need a petition sign. Come on, man. Shout out to the Disco Biscuit head that we met at Twin Peaks and Buckhead on Friday. I can't remember his name, but anyway, holla. Yeah, GoFundMe page for MO. Let's do this, man.
If we legally can do this, it will be up. And again, all the extra donations will go to charity, our good friends at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta.
And I'll do this as cheap as possible. I'll do the first flight on New Year's Day, and I'll do the last flight on New Year's night to get back here and do it on the cheap.
Charity, I will eat street meat in New York City if it gets me up to the Disco Biscuit show.
And you will hear that again on Friday.
You might hear that again coming up in about 10 minutes. All right, let's talk college football when we get back for the break. Georgia wins the SEC title. We want your phone calls. Did the committee get it right? We talk about that next on Sports Radio.
Oh, Roquan Smith, seeing Terry Godwin and Roquan Smith hugging on stage in tears because they care about each other so much. That's why I do this. It's because of these guys. And it's great to bring it back to Georgia, and the Bulldog Nation is certainly starved. But these young men deserve a ton of credit.
First SEC championship since 2005. That is a long time. Rick and John on a Falcons Monday. We'll get back to the Falcons discussion at the top of the hour. But with college football so rich in fascination with what's going on, with the rankings, Georgia winning, you know, the games played on Saturday. Wait a minute. They just scored another touchdown in the UCF-Memphis game. That was unbelievable football, by the way. I actually tried to take notes, John, on that game. I don't know why, because I'm nuts.
That's good notes.
That's notes for the Memphis-UCF game. I probably never will use it on the air. Just an exercise I do at home. And that, of course, is before I dive into a bottle of Tito's. But you asked the question, did the committee get it right? There's no question they got it right. And Ohio State fans can be butthurt all they want, but it's very ironic. It's poetic justice. They right now, Ohio State, is living the existence of Penn State last year.
Yep.
Okay, they had two losses, won the Big Ten championship, and lost out. Ohio State, two losses, won the Big Ten championship, and lost out. The reason is you can't give up 55 to Iowa and then back it up with only a 6. And by the way, Ohio State, you were dead to me. You're still dead to me for not helping me cover the spread there. How dare you not cover against Wisconsin? The spread was 6. It landed on 6. So, John, and like I said earlier, and I want to reiterate this, and then I'm going to drop it off on you. Alabama over Ohio State is more about the deficiencies, the inconsistencies, and the clunkers laid by Ohio State than it is anything that Alabama did this year.
Here's the thing I used to say. The old BCS when two teams got in, I would always say, if you lost a game, your argument is now out the window. Then you have to leave it in the hands of the computers and everybody else. In the new system, if you lose two games, your argument is now out the window. The only team that finished undefeated this year in all of major college football is Central Florida, who you just talked about with the win over Memphis. They never were a real consideration to make it into the playoffs. So for everybody that lost more than one game, Auburn, Now Ohio State, USC, your argument was out the window during the regular season. What you had to hope for at that point is everybody else had equal two losses. The teams that all had one loss, and this is where I go back to what I argued about during our weekly Barbershop Bickerfest. I would always rank the undefeated teams up above, but once they lost, now you rank them based on the merit. It all eventually worked itself out. Clemson's number one, Oklahoma two, Georgia three. You could argue should Georgia be two or three. Doesn't matter. The only thing that's different is what jersey you get to wear when you play in the Rose Bowl. But teams that have two arguments until everybody else gets to two losses, I'm sorry, that argument goes out the window.
And, you know, the committee, John, obviously is not feeling what Wisconsin did this year. It took hook and crook to get them ever into the top four, even with the undefeated record. The committee was still sleeping on them throughout virtually the entire process. And you think, okay, Ohio State beats a good Wisconsin team. They're not a great Wisconsin team. Alex Hornibrook sucks. He showed it again to you on Saturday night. Two interceptions. Oh, let me guess, a big stage and a Wisconsin quarterback pees the bed. No, what a shocker. But, John, if the committee had respect for Wisconsin, they would have looked at that as a good victory for Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. They did not look at that as a good victory for Ohio State. They actually looked at it as a bad win.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at it as, oh, let me ask you this question. If Ohio State beats Wisconsin 45-10, do they get the nod over Alabama?
No.
So you don't think there's anything Ohio State could have done on Saturday, 60-0? Does that get them in over Alabama?
I don't think so. And remember, 2 years ago, they did get in because they beat Wisconsin 59-0, and it got them into the playoffs. I don't think so because the precedent was set a year ago. The precedent was set that, A, you don't have to win your conference. And, see, the argument last year was even more tilted towards Penn State's side because they had won the game head-to-head against Ohio State.
Good call.
There is no head-to-head this year for Alabama and Ohio State.
Now, the one thing about Ohio State last year, they had three top 10 wins. Michigan, Wisconsin, and, of course, Oklahoma. And I think that was the tipping point for Ohio State last year.
Yeah, and Penn State had the blowout loss to Michigan, which, much like the blowout loss for Iowa, keeps Ohio State out of the equation. Here's what I'll say with all of this. I think there needs to be some type of clarification done by this committee. What is your criteria? Lay it out. The number one tiebreaker is this. The number two tiebreaker is this. Much like, because what they've done is allowed this to be so subjective that even going into the final weekend at 12:30 yesterday at Sunday, as we're getting ready for a Falcons game, everybody's refreshing their phone to see who got the number four spot because we truthfully had no idea. And maybe that's what they want. But what they've also told us, Rick, is winning a conference championship means zero.
I don't think it means zero, John. I just think it means less than big losses. Penn State getting crushed for the huge loss to Michigan last year. Ohio State getting crushed for the huge loss to Iowa this year. And they were both Big Ten champions. I don't think the committee, and I get your point, certainly the conference championship does not mean everything. John, it's just merely a variable. That's all it is. It's not even like a heavily weighted variable. It's just one of the variables they consider. But what the message they are sending, if you want to be in the Final Four, don't get your butt and your brains beat in at any point during the season. Otherwise, you give us reason to knock you out.
Here's what it also tells me, though. And Ohio State fans had a good point that I saw on Twitter. They said, you know, simply if we change Oklahoma for some slappy, they're going to win that game against said slappy.
But hold on. Ohio State's win over Oklahoma got them in last year.
Yeah, but this year, had they not played Oklahoma and they played some slappy, they'd be in the college football playoffs.
I get it, but that's not a good argument because you've got the home and away. We play up, Columbus, and then we play in Stillwater, however the thing was. You know, this year, obviously, it was at Columbus. You have to do a home-and-home thing with that. So you can't just take one matchup and say, we're good on Oklahoma. You got to play them
both.
Well, you
can play them at a neutral site. Or you just don't play them at all.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, the committee
told them. But it helped them last year. It hurt them this year. So it all comes out in the wash, man.
Yeah. The point being, though, they're going to say, well, you know, Alabama played Florida State, and that was really it out of conference. Alabama also got to sit out a conference championship game. And trust me, I would have put Alabama in. The wins and losses come into the equation. But for somebody, and I'm going to convolute the argument even more, for somebody like an Auburn, if Auburn doesn't play in the SEC title game yesterday or 2 days ago, guess what? They're in the playoffs. by virtue of beating Georgia and Alabama in the regular season.
Wisconsin would have been in the
playoffs. They would have been in the playoffs if they don't play the conference championship game. So for the teams that are in front that actually lose their games, they go, wait a second, Alabama got rewarded for sitting their butts at home. Ohio State got rewarded a year ago for sitting their butts at home. That goes back to the regular season argument. But then why have a conference championship game if at least in half the time they don't seem like they matter?
It's an interesting question to raise, and we're going to talk about it in the weeks and months to come. All right, I'm happy about this because I heard a soundbite from Urban Meyer this morning. And I was like, oh, God, here we go. Sour grapes, taking shots, being classless. Just like John and I get Ohio State being 5 and out of the 4, shockingly, Urban Meyer sounds resigned and like he has ownership of that state as well.
What do you think was the biggest difference?
We had a loss. You know, we had a tough loss. You know, I think that was the toughest one. And I was kind of hoping that we had those, you know, good wins. You know, I think we had 3 wins against the top 16 teams in America. But I get it. I mean, it's move forward and get around people you care, your family, your teammates.
So he said it right there. Mm-hmm. He knew when they lost to Iowa, oops, we probably just shot ourselves in the foot right here and knocked ourselves out of the playoffs. And he said the word hope, John. So, and to your point, you leave it in the hands and the subjectivity of very smart people in a room together,
right,
bickering. And your AD, Gene Smith, has to recuse himself from any of those conversations. Yeah. And so, isn't that refreshing to hear Urban Meyer not all butthurt and sour grapes about it all, just saying, we had that tough loss, and then we were hoping that our good wins would sort of win out. But Urban Meyer does not sound to me like he needs to launch an investigation or change the system because it's broken. I'm happy to hear Urban Meyer accept his fate at number 5.
It is obviously a Falcons Monday. We'll get back to that conversation coming up in about 45 minutes. It's all brought to you by Xfinity. Falcons Monday, when it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Let's take a call or two on this at 404-741-0929. Did the committee get it right? We'll start with Ben in Cumming. Ben, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, good morning. I think the committee got it wrong, and I'm a huge SEC fan, would love to see an all-SEC final, but conference championships have to matter. I would have actually given it to USC. I looked at their schedule. I think, you know, I'd give it to them over Ohio State, probably because Ohio State has done so bad the last 2 playoffs, and that matters. But I think conference championships matter. Alabama had a playoff game 2 weeks ago and lost it. That's the way I look at it.
You know, and that's the argument that a lot of people are going to have moving forward with the conference championships. Auburn had to win 3 games. And granted, they have 2 losses, so my argument for Auburn, as I said, you have 2 losses, you don't really have any room for error. As far as USC goes, their best 2 wins were both over Stanford. They got blown out by Notre Dame. They lost on the road to Washington State. You know, you beat a 6-6 Texas. You beat a 6-6 Western Michigan. The Pac-12 is, it's okay. They don't have anybody in. So USC, again, their argument was out when they got blown out in South Bend a couple of months ago.
You're right. And as much of a Pac-12 backer as I am, and USC was one of the teams I picked to go to the college football playoff, I'm okay with them being on the outside, bro. I gave their resume a little bit too much credit. As John said, you know, those are pretty good non-conference games, right? Western Michigan
and
Texas. Those are pretty good non-conference games. But those teams weren't 9-3 or 10-2 or 8-4. So I think that hurt USC. And obviously, once again, don't get blown out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the USC, conference champ, 2 losses, really good overall resume. But they got trucked, John. And I think that's the huge message that the committee is sending. Don't get your butt and your brains beat in at any point during a season, because that'll give us reason to knock you out.
There'll be 3 games I'll go back and look at this year and go, how the hell did these happen? Auburn blowing a 20-0 lead against LSU when LSU was really struggling. How did that happen? USC going to Notre Dame and getting obliterated, seeing what Notre Dame has been since then. How did that happen? And how the hell did Ohio State lose 50? How'd you give up 55 points to Iowa?
That's the shocker of the year. The USC thing, John, is, you know, and granted, you can't hang it all on this. They were down a million players in that Notre Dame game. That was like them hitting rock bottom in terms of all of the players that they had lost, the reality of it setting in. Obviously, Notre Dame at that time was roaring.
Mm-hmm.
They were just on their game. Wimbush was rolling. Adams was rolling. And it was a perfect storm. Now, again, don't get your brains beat in.
Right.
On the road, at home, or anywhere. And they did, but they had a lot of injuries at that point.
They did, but again, it's still a game I'll scratch my head. Lose the game, fine. Get obliterated and pull Sam Darnold in the fourth quarter. I don't know anything about that. Let's go to Brandon. I'm sure he is a happy man as Alabama will be playing Clemson. Brandon, did they get it right?
I think they got it right because now they've loaded the ammo to make it an 18 playoff instead of a 4. And Rick, my brother, you got to tell Charity to be like, hey, I would have money to go to that concert if you didn't wreck the car and we didn't have to pay the deductible.
Oh, wow.
Brandon, well played. Way to get involved in my family business. That was nice.
But I'm going to stay at home and watch this game at home. I mean, I'm glad Bama got in. I'm still very unsure of Jalen Hurts, so I'm not going to dump a bunch of money until he shows me what he does in the first playoff game. I'm just going to kind of take it easy. But I do think they got it right because not only can you not get your brains beat in, you can't get your brains beat in by a 7-win team and then want to say, oh, we deserve to be there. If you get your brains beat in by the number one team in the country, that might be a little different, but not a 7-win team. Roll Tide, guys. I'm out.
Totally agree.
It's our boy Brandon.
And that's why they're not in. Ohio State can simply look back to a Saturday afternoon at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa. And they can tell you right then, this is why we didn't get in the playoffs.
No question about it. And they let go of the rope that day, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen. And if, again, Penn State last year let go of the rope against Michigan. And you think about the USC let go of the rope at Notre Dame. And the committee, that is like, that's the cardinal sin. If you do that, you're out. So if that's your only loss, mm-hmm. you got a shot. But if you have two losses,
yep.
and one of those losses is a devastation, you're out. So what is the committee trying to tell us? What are they saying? That's what they're
don't
saying.
Don't get blown out.
What's more important than conference championships won are blowout losses.
Here's the only way the conference titles will ever matter. And it doesn't matter what the committee puts on, if they do go to 8 or if they go to 6 and then there's one at large plus the 5 conference champions. That's the only way that they're going to matter. Because right now, automatically, one conference champ is being left out anyway. And I've seen the argument via Twitter that, well, the best the conference champ doesn't necessarily mean they're the best team. No, it doesn't. But it takes away the eye test baloney that we have to deal with. Because right now, it came down to non-conference against conference champ. Alabama, again, got rewarded for staying at home. And I'm not mad. Alabama, to me, is one of the 4 best teams in the country. But until everybody has a chance to be there, the conference championship games are never going to matter.
Did I just hear in there, I don't think it was you. I think you were relaying and paraphrasing from fans and Twitter mm-hmm. that the winner of the conference championship game doesn't necessarily mean that's the best team in the conference.
Yeah, that's from
okay.
Twitter.
I totally disagree with that. Was USC the best Pac-12 team?
This year, yes.
Was Oklahoma the best Big
Absolutely.
12 team? Was Clemson the best ACC
yep.
team? Was Georgia the best SEC team?
Yep.
I mean, like,
but
yes,
what no, but what
dot, dot, dot with Bama. And then was Ohio State the best Big Ten team?
Yes.
So to me, the conference champs of Power 5 all were the best teams in their conferences this year.
Yeah, and in that argument, then those should be the teams that are fighting for the playoffs, not somebody that didn't win their own division. That's where the flip side to this comes from. And this is what college playoffs want. They want us to sit here and argue for the next month about who should be in and who should be out.
And we're going to. Mm-hmm. 28 days from now, 28 days exactly, 4 weeks, it will be the Final Four. And the Dogs in the Rose Bowl with Mark Owens and Gretchen there. Staying at the Vagabond Inn.
He's actually looking at Airbnbs in Sparks, Nevada right now.
There's some spots in Vancouver still available.
You could go ahead and say in Portland, Oregon for $114 round trip. Hey, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's continue that conversation. Did they get it right? That's all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
That's Nick Saban, of course, and had the committee chosen Ohio State over Alabama, then they would have lacked integrity, Nick? Just wondering. But I'm okay with Alabama being 4 and Ohio State being 5. I think the committee got it right. That's our boy Bill Hancock, man. Step off. Hey, Bill, we got your back, man, here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. And, John, I want to tell everybody about College Football Game Time. It's presented by Bud Light at McCray's Tavern in Lawrenceville. This Saturday, Randy Mack, John Chuckery, John Fricke, a three-headed monster for sure, broadcasting live from 11 to 3, talking all things college football. Again, this Saturday, it's going to be at McCray's Tavern up in Lawrenceville. John, let me hit you with a hot take here.
Okay. Hot take.
On Georgia and Oklahoma. And obviously, we're going to have a ton of time to break this down. I think Georgia's going to win this football game. And I think Georgia's going to win this football. And we can break it down every way to Sunday or Monday. But the UGA defense is going to limit or contain Baker Mayfield mm-hmm. more than the Oklahoma quote-unquote defense is going to contain or limit the Georgia offense. I'm not taking anything away from the greatness of Baker Mayfield, who's going to walk and waltz to a Heisman Trophy and totally deserved. But this UGA defense is way different than any defense he has seen all year. And you say, wait a minute, he's played Ohio State. Ohio State is the most turn it on, turn it off, roller coaster up and down. Mm-hmm. I want to play on fourth and one. I don't want to play on first and 10 defense I've ever seen. Oh, don't compare Ohio State's defense to Georgia's defense, please. I'm just saying, I think Georgia's defense against Baker Mayfield and that great offense is going to be the diff.
Yeah, I think they've got a very good chance to win this game. If I were picking right now, I would pick Georgia to win the game for everything you just talked about. I think they'll be able to ball control Oklahoma. I think they'll be able to fluster and hit Baker Mayfield. You got to remember, Mayfield's a kid that wants to scramble to make big plays, and that's getting out of harm's way a lot of times. Against Georgia, all of a sudden, those gaps close pretty quickly. It's nice to be able to do it against TCU. Georgia, a different animal. It is a Falcons Monday, as always, brought to you by Xfinity when it comes to the entertainment you love. X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Are you excited about Clemson-Bama 3?
Absolutely. And the reason, I mean, because it's going to be a great football game. The teams are going to be so much healthier, John, mm-hmm. and so well prepared for this game. Look, Clemson and Alabama have played the previous 2 years with a week to prepare for the game.
Right.
Because it's been the national championship game. Now they get a month. Dabo gets a month with his crew to scheme Nick and his guy. And Nick and his crew get a month to scheme against Clemson. So for that reason, I would like it anyway, John, but for that reason, because it's a different game this year. They get a month to prepare. I'm super stoked. Georgia-Oklahoma, I think it's going to be a whale of a game. I mm-hmm. think it's going to be a relatively high-scoring game. But again, I'm right now, 2 days after Georgia win the SEC championship game, and John, I know you agree, I'm picking the Dogs over Oklahoma, and I don't know the point spread.
Oklahoma's like a 2 or a 3 point favorite.
Oh, take the Dogs plus the points. They're giving Oklahoma, I think, way too much credit with that point spread. Let me give you a couple of takes from this game. I don't know, people traveling, going to the game, the TCU-Oklahoma game. Baker Mayfield was sensational, and Lincoln Riley had some real bleep you play calling in this game. It's 24-17 at halftime, right? Mm-hmm. And Kenny Hill comes out and had one of the worst third quarters in big college football game history, and I'll detail that in a minute. First play for Oklahoma of the second half. Mayfield on a slant to Mikel Jones, 50-plus yard touchdown, throw up 2 touchdowns. TCU comes back. They're in plus territory, 4th and 1. Hill runs right, but he had the ball in the wrong hand. He needed it in the left hand to get it over the marker. Had it in the right hand. It was stopped short. The next play, Mayfield, bomb to your guy Marquise Brown, and it's 38-17, mm-hmm. ball game. That's the kind of play. I bring this up because that's what's awaiting Georgia. They are not going to try to dink and dunk.
Nope.
They are not necessarily going to try to ball control. And they are balanced with Rodney Anderson and all those running backs. They are going to try to bleep you mm-hmm. with big balls. That's how they play. So the game was over at that point.
Oh,
you have Kenny Hill and T. Dude, it was a touchdown game at halftime. Oklahoma came out and said, this is easy. We're just going to throw over the top of them and cruise to an easy victory.
And what they do, they formation you to make declarations. Are you going to play zone and allow them to run? Because they can run it. Or are you going to go, all right, we got to slow down the run, and then we try to come and play some man-to-man coverage. It's going to be a tough task, but I do think Georgia's defense is up to it. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Wilfredo in Douglasville. Hey, Wilfredo, did they get it right?
Fellas, they absolutely got it right. I mean, I don't want to change the narrative, but we have to have the best four teams in the country playing. There's not no four conference champions. I mean, if we just go do four conference champions, we might as well scrap the rankings and all that, because that really wouldn't mean anything no more. I mean, I think Alabama's head and shoulders above better than Ohio State. I mean, you go and lose to Iowa. I mean, you get blowed out at home, Oklahoma. They really don't have a case. But moving forward, I was talking to some guys yesterday. I think the 8-team playoff would be good, because you can have the 5 conference champions, your 2 at-large, and then that 1 team like UCF, that's a non-power 5 that goes undefeated. I think that should be, like, the better result. But I do think they got it right with this playoff. Appreciate it, folks.
Appreciate it.
So, John, I'm always on the more sports mm-hmm. tip, and I would love to go to 8. And I do think that it would take a little bit of the starch out of the regular season. Just a little bit. The games are still going to be colossal. We're still going to watch. But you have more room for error. Mm-hmm. If you go, you know, if you're an Auburn, or if you're a Wisconsin, or now an Ohio State, or a USC. I mean, so the 5 conference champs, And we talked about this with Knox last week. I would not automatically take a group of five team. It would not be automatic. UCF this year, absolutely getting an invite. And, John, watching that game, and you're like, a lot of people are fascinated by this conference, the American Athletic Conference. And this game was 62-55 in double overtime, which ironically ended on a defensive play by UCF intercepting Riley Ferguson as he tried to throw to Anthony Miller, who, by the way, is the second coming of Steve Smith Sr. I don't know if you all have seen Anthony Miller play. He is feisty. Mm-hmm. He's a smack talker. He's lightning, and he never drops the ball. He's an amazing player who's going to rock and roll in the NFL. But, John, these teams are really good on the perimeter. They have great wide receivers, both Memphis and UCF. And they have good cornerbacks, amazingly, right, giving up all these touchdowns. What they don't do is stop the run at all.
Not one bit.
They have the softest front sevens I've ever seen. And this is a championship game of the conference, let alone some of the teams that went 3-8 in this league. And the other point I wanted to make is on Mackenzie Milton, the quarterback of UCF. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize this, John, and this is the first time I have watched him wire to wire, every play of the game. He drops dimes. Mm-hmm. He is a great quarterback. But he's not going to the NFL. I looked up his measurements. He's like 5'10", buck 77.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done.
That ain't going to work. It works against the AAC. It ain't going to work in the NFL. But Mackenzie Milton is a very fun watch.
And they're going to have a fun game right here at the Peach Bowl. I don't know how enthused Auburn fans are to come back to the scene of the crime from Saturday, but that's where they'll come back to for their bowl game. Peach Bowl's got UCF and Auburn.
Super quick, do you agree with me? I had a hot take earlier in the show, John. I said, in the NFL, I would rather have Baker Mayfield than Lamar Jackson. Are you with me?
No. No, I love Lamar Jackson. He has played with he's playing with a Louisville team this year that's not very good. Last year had a really good team. I'll take Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Just me.
We'll see how it plays out.
We will. Let's go back to the phones, 404-741-0929. Scott's in Buford. Did the committee get it right, Scott?
I think they did, guys. I got a question for you. You know, we always talk about Vegas, you know, knowing the odds. So, I mean, ask you this question. If Alabama was going to play Ohio State next weekend, who would be favored? I mean, that simply would tell you right there who's a better team, and I bet Alabama would be favored.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, Bama would
There's
be favored.
There's no doubt. What do you think, John? 3 or 4 points?
Probably five and a half. Bama would be favored.
It wouldn't be a touchdown.
Than a touchdown, but I think it'd be more than a field goal, somewhere between that 4 and 6 range. Remember, and Vegas is usually going to tell you who's the better team, and they're fairly spot on with that. But a lot of times they're also trying to get you to wager on either side. They set a number that Ohio State fans go, wait a second, I can win some money on this, and Bama fans do the same.
No doubt about it. And not shockingly, Vegas was right on the number. Ohio State was favored by 6, mm-hmm. and they won 27-21.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, and what that tells you is, A, Vegas did not think that Ohio State was going to run away and hide from Wisconsin, and B, mm-hmm. They kind of liked Wisconsin and thought the Scotties could hang, which, of course, they did. Shame on Ohio State for not running Wisconsin in that game. Shame on you.
Did you notice the line turned Saturday morning?
Yep.
When we got off the air about 11 o'clock, it went from Auburn a 2.5-point favorite, a swing to Georgia, mm-hmm. a point-and-a-half favorite.
Shut up.
Right before it moved
4 points?
Yeah. 3 points.
You know why? It's because I went from the head take that Auburn was going to win, and then as we approached the game, I'm like, screw Auburn. I'm taking the dogs, man. Just for some reason, I thought the dogs were going to win that game.
I'll be out in Vegas this weekend.
A 4-point swing. Wow.
I'm going to put some real money on Georgia for Rose Bowl and Georgia National Championship.
You should.
I guess I can throw away that national title ticket I had laying around. Not going to.
Except for memories.
Memories of what?
I mean, just the what if.
Yeah. Well,
that's okay. I was going through. I found it. I have a ticket in July when I was in Vegas. I put money down on Georgia to win the SEC. I lost it, and I found it late last night.
How much
did
you win on that?
Yes, sir.
Does that get you any closer to your Rose Bowl?
No, not enough. Maybe a ticket.
Who did you vote for?
Yes, sir.
All right.
So there you go. So I'm going to continue to keep putting money down. I feel good about this Rose Bowl.
Let's go to Justin in Atlanta. Justin, did the committee get it right?
Yes, sir, John. They did get it right, man. Hats off to Georgia. They played their butts off, man. Even though Rick Campbell always goes against Georgia, they still proved him wrong. But
I picked him in the game.
They got it right, man. I feel like Ohio State, they too inconsistent. They never really played good competition like that. And Alabama was – I didn't want them to get in, but, you know, they only had one loss at the end, and they maintained stability throughout the whole season, so I couldn't go against them. And my last take is, John, Mm-hmm. Now you see what UGA feel like dealing with Mark Rick. He gonna get you. You got the talent. He gonna get you there, but he gonna screw one game up always. That's all I gotta say.
Justin, appreciate it. I can't disagree more. If that's a shot at Mark Rick for the game against Clemson, Clemson's just more talented. Look at the junior and senior talent on Georgia. You know who brought them there? Mark Richt. He didn't have that talent right now at Miami to beat Clemson. Clemson's a better team, period. They proved it. They physically kicked the crap out of Miami. The Mark Richt loss that I do agree with is the brain fart against Pittsburgh. That's the loss you can't have. Either way, we'll come back. Let's talk some more college football. Was Georgia's win over Auburn the biggest win they've had since winning the national title? We'll break that down next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9 The Game.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, y'all. Congrats to the Bulldogs and Bulldog Nation on winning the SEC Championship for the first time since 2005. It is our College Football Cheat Sheet brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way to make you smile at rsandrews.com. Was UGA's win over Auburn on Saturday night their biggest win since the national championship way back in 1980 when I was a little whippersnapper back in Minnesota? Before I answer this, y'all have to help me with something. Because I'm like, well, why is this SEC championship more important than 2002 or 2005? So I did a little research. The Dogs were 13-1 back in 2002, second year under Mark Richt. They go and win the Sugar Bowl. And then 2005, they had, I guess, too many losses to to qualify for the BCS championship. They were 10-3 that year. So explain to me, John, why the SEC championship in 2017 is more important than the one in 2002.
Because it gets you in the playoffs, because there was no playoffs. 2002, I believe they finished third that year. Ohio State ended up going to the national title game against Miami at that time.
Was it BS? Did Georgia belong?
No, Miami was undefeated. Ohio State was undefeated. Okay. Georgia lost 13-6, I believe, to Florida. Terrence Edwards, if I'm not mistaken, had a drop that everybody still talks about to this day, and they would have had a chance to go to the national. It would have been an argument that year had Georgia won that game. Georgia, Ohio State, who gets in? Georgia probably would have gotten the nod as the SEC champion with a little bit better schedule and more impressive victories, but they lost the game during the regular season, so they had no argument. 05, they lost two or three. I believe they lost three games.
It was three games. They were 10-3.
One of them was Shockley being hurt. DJ was the quarterback back then, and that was part of the reason they lost three games that year. 2007, you know, they win the Sugar Bowl, huge game. They beat Florida that year, which is a huge win, finally breaking that streak. But this year's different. It gives you a chance to win a national championship. It's something that Georgia has not tasted in a long time. A lot of people that are Georgia fans, they weren't alive the last time they won a national title. This is huge, and you should revel in every second of it. Eat up this next month. Cash in 401k, go to this semifinal game, and have a blast.
And 2007, they finished number two in the land with that 11-2 record and winning the Sugar Bowl. But and again, so I, like, you know me, John, like, I'm all about college football right now. I have not been all about college football my entire life like I have Major League Baseball, the NFL, and of course, the NBA. But so I need a little bit of help with the history. But me being on the sidelines, not knowing everything, but kind of knowing some stuff, it seems like this is the biggest win for the Dogs since 80.
Let's go to the phones, 404-741-0929. Rudy, is this the biggest Georgia win since they won the national title?
Yes.
Got any more?
Would you care to
elaborate? Give us a little more.
Man, this is for the state, man. The state has been longing for a championship. There's been so much turmoil and so much going on with the sport teams in this state. We need this right now. This is nothing more than just a celebration for staying down and being a part of the Georgia Bulldog fan base.
Got to love it, Rudy. Just so you know, and we appreciate you calling. Radio, people actually want to hear your thoughts. So the yes was great, but when you hit it, give us the yes, and then just dive into it. I have Paul didn't say much, because Paul will usually sit back there and just go,
Yep.
And then he won't say much else. We know what Paul. We can actually see Paul, but appreciate the call.
I want to shout out somebody real quick, Mo, and then we'll bring you on here. Roquan Smith, Roquan Smith, just an absolutely amazing football game. He was the MVP of the SEC championship. Dig the stats. We watched the game. We know. Brad Nessler said his name more than Gary Danielson in that game. 13 tackles, one sack, two tackles for loss, and two fumble recoveries. You literally cannot have a better championship game.
Did you also see it was the highest-rated college football game of the season?
Nice.
And the best, up 20% last year, over last year's Florida-Alabama game. I think the best since Auburn's championship run, too.
Let's be real. Who wanted to watch that Florida team get demolished by Alabama last year?
Is there any doubt Roquan Smith is a first-round pick in the NFL?
No.
Is there any doubt at all?
There was on Saturday night. It should be confirmed.
Yeah, it's
he's like the black Luke Kuechly, this guy. He's amazing. I mean, sideline to sideline, he's so damn fast and so aggressive. Roquan Smith, we love you, bro.
XFL, that's what he would put on the back of his jersey.
The black Luke Kuechly, that's awesome.
To answer your question, I think no. I'm going to have to say 2014 Belk Bowl is much bigger than we beat Louisville 37-14. That game... huge. It was such a big game. No. Yes, 100% I agree. This is the biggest win since the national championship. All the hype behind it, all the conversations between Eason, Fromm, Kirby's second year, getting, even though I said on Saturday it wasn't a revenge game, it was a championship game, but they did. They were sore. They were prickly from the game on November the 11th. All the storylines played out great, and I do think this being a chance to make it to the playoffs made it that bigger of a game. So, yeah, bigger as big since the championship game.
Hey, John, super quick take. I tweeted this out. Georgia won on Saturday night because they were the bullies.
Yep.
They were tougher, stronger, meaner, nastier. It was a disposition. And, John, you saw it throughout the football game that they played to the whistle and just beyond the whistle a bunch of times. And I really think, and obviously DeAndre Baker landing on / cheap shot and Kerryon Johnson, I thought it was monstrous. I thought it was a turning point in the game because Kerryon was not the same.
He was not. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, is this the biggest win Georgia's had since the national title?
Yeah, I would have to say so. But here's another thing you need to think about, gentlemen. That win over Notre Dame at the beginning of the year, I think it was important, too. And they're going to have their hands full with Oklahoma. I watch that boy play this weekend, and Baker Mayfield ain't no joke. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Jeremiah. Yeah, to really get the season started, the way Georgia fans traveled to South Bend, we were up in Chicago then. That weekend was a red and black takeover in that part of the country. Georgia was there. The Falcon fans were there. It was huge to get that first signature win under Kirby Smart, but this weekend to now be going to the play. You're one of the four teams that everybody's going to talk about for the next month.
It's ridiculous, man. And I've been telling MO this. Dogs, believe that I literally think that they are better and more complete than any of the other teams. I think they're better and more complete than Clemson, better and more complete than Bama, and better and more complete than Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'd argue about Clemson.
I mean, we'll see. I really think that Jake Fromm is better on the sideline routes and the back shoulders than Kelly Bryant. We're going to break it down all the way down, but I like Georgia's chances a lot.
Let's go to Terrence. Terrence, is this the best win since Georgia won the national title?
Well, right now it's on the cusp. Now, if they beat Oklahoma, get to the championship game, that'll be very impressive, and it will be the biggest game. But Baker Mayfield can put up 30 on any team, so that's going to be a big challenge for Georgia, and we will see at that point.
All right, we will obviously see. Now, you beat Oklahoma, that's going to be a bigger win. And then if you go on to beat Alabama or Clemson, that'll be the biggest win. That, to me, will be the biggest win the program's ever had. Take nothing away from the 1980 national championship team. It was easier to win a national championship back then. You did not have to go through the three extra games of conference, semi, final.
And by the way, Clemson, they kind of acted like they wanted Alabama, and maybe they do, like matchup-wise. I don't know. Maybe just third in a row. But Ohio State would have been a lot easier matchup for Clemson than Alabama.
Would have been. Would they beat them last year? 31-0?
31-0, John. Yeah. Proved they did not belong.
It would have been a beatdown. We'll get back to the Falcons conversation. Coming up when we get back from the break, it is a Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity. When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. What went wrong with the Falcons' loss yesterday? Who's to blame? And breaking news out of the NFL when we get back. It's just a week overdue. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.